Episode 58, How to Help Your Child Be Kind.
This is the Expat Mom Podcast, a podcast for expat moms around the world who want to feel better and improve their emotional health as they navigate the unique challenges of living and mothering abroad. I'm your host, Jenny Linton. I'm a certified life coach, a mom to four daughters, and married to a U.S. diplomat. I've lived in six countries on four continents. I know what it's like to feel stuck emotionally, and I know how to get unstuck. I'm excited to share with you some tools to help you feel less discouraged, improve your relationships, and increase your confidence.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I hope that you're getting into a nice rhythm with school starting again, and that you're finding a nice routine with your family. Today, we're going to talk more about kindness. We focused on the power of lift from kindness and its ability to lift not only the person that you help, but also yourself and others around you. And we've also talked about the science of kindness, what happens in our bodies biochemically when we're kind, and how it literally creates the biology of happiness. And this week, we're going to talk about how to help your children be kind. One of the sweetest moments as a mom is to watch your child independently choose to be kind. One day I went on a school field trip with one of my daughters, and it was at an aquarium. And when I arrived, I saw that my daughter had a friend with her. The friend did not speak English, and my daughter knew that this little girl felt intimidated by the project to go around the museum and answer a bunch of questions. I watched my daughter link arms with this little girl and help her the entire field trip. This little girl's face went from worried too excited as the field trip wore on. I was so touched by my daughter's thoughtfulness and kindness. But there have also been moments when I've seen my kids be the exact opposite of kind. They've taken things from each other, yelled rude comments, judged other people, refused to share, and the list goes on. As parents, we recognize the power of kindness, but teaching our kids how to be kind can be challenging. This week, I want to offer some actionable steps that we can use to help our kids be kinder. Before we start, I want to tell you about a free resource that I offer to moms. I know that you are busy and your time is limited, especially now that school is back in season. But I also know that most moms want to feel less overwhelmed and more calm. They want their kids to be emotionally healthy as well. So I've created a free resource for moms that's designed to be read in about a minute. Each week, I carefully craft a short tool or perspective to give moms something that they can try at home with their families that week to improve their family's emotional health. One time, a mom shared that she was struggling with her sense of identity and purpose after moving to a new country. She had left behind a career and friends, and she found herself unsure of how to find her purpose as a trailing spouse. She found validation and shifts of perspective in the 1 minute wisdom emails and podcasts on the topic of finding your purpose and reinventing your identity. These perspective shifts have helped to change the way she sees herself and her purpose. You can sign up for 1 minute wisdom in the show notes or on my website at theexpatmom.com. And if a 1 minute wisdom or podcast episode has helped you or your family, I would love you to share it with me in the review section of the podcast, or you can direct message me on Instagram at the Expat Mom Coach. I would love to hear your experience. So let's jump into our topic. I would like to share three ways that we can help our children be kinder. The first is to help our children learn to recognize others' emotions. The predecessor to kindness is empathy. There are some children that have more empathy than others, but empathy is a skill that anyone can develop. And we as parents can help our children develop empathy by teaching them to recognize the feelings that others are feeling. So children come with a built-in ability to what we call mirror emotions. In studies, they find that children's faces often follow the emotions of what characters on TV or in books are experiencing. However, some children don't naturally connect the feeling they're experiencing with what the other person is feeling, and they may need help connecting the dots. Other children may recognize that they are feeling something and the other person is feeling something, but they may not know how to articulate it. and still others may choose not to act on the empathy that they feel. As parents, we can do a few simple things to encourage the development of empathy. For example, we can help children notice other people's emotions. And when they do, help connect those emotions to the behavior or circumstances around the person, so our children can learn more about the emotional landscape of others and how difficult things are most likely to affect other people. In order to cultivate this skill with young children, I love to play a game where we read or watch a show together. And then I'll ask my little one, "How do you think that character's feeling right now? Why do you think they might be feeling that way?" Kids love games, and to them, this feels like a game or a puzzle. They have to figure it out. With older children, I find questions in the midst of normal conversation can be useful. For example, if one of my daughters is telling me about how mean a friend is being, I'll usually try to listen and understand my daughter's perspective. And in addition to validating and reflecting back her feelings, I might also ask, "What do you think your friend is feeling? Why do you think they might be doing that?" Sometimes these questions help my daughter see the situation from her friend's perspective as well as from her own perspective. It may sound simple, but just the act of helping children be aware of others' emotions can be an important way of helping them develop empathy. The next step is fairly similar, but slightly different than our first step. It is to point out how their personal behavior affects others and themselves in both a positive and negative way. Let me explain what I mean. Kids don't always naturally recognize or connect the dots between their behavior and how someone else is feeling. As parents, we can help train kids to see the connection by pointing it out. Now, on this podcast, I advocate for personal responsibility in our emotions. So we don't want to go around teaching children that they create emotions in others, or that they can blame others for the emotions that they feel. We are all responsible for our own emotions. However, it's important to help children see that our actions do affect others in order to help them choose behaviors that are more likely to help and not hurt others. This is a delicate tool because we also don't want to shame our children. So the tone used in teaching this tool is very important. Recently, one of my girls was rushing around and bumped into her sister. It knocked the sister and caused her sister to cry. I assumed that my daughter would turn around and apologize and ask if she was okay, but she didn't. So I asked my daughter to come back and I said, "Hey, sweetie, will you just look at your sister's face? How do you think she's feeling right now? Do you think that your behavior might have affected her?" I could tell that my other daughter was not very excited, but she did look in her sister's face and I could see her heart softening a little bit. "Sorry," she said, "I apologize." Sometimes our kids do recognize the impact of their behavior on others. However, it's too inconvenient or it's too difficult to deal with. So for them, it's just easier to ignore it or to blame it on someone else. This exercise of helping children recognize the impact of their behavior on others' feelings can also help children recognize the importance of owning up to our behavior. Responsibility and follow-through are important parts of kindness. I love to use this technique for pointing out positive things too. When your child does something kind, we can help point out the impact it made on someone else. In addition, it allows children to stop and take inventory of how they feel after a particular behavior. This technique works for pointing out positive things too. When your child does something kind, we can help point out the impact it made on the other person and on them. The other day, one of my daughters was reading to her little sister. I said, "Oh, honey, thank you so much for reading to your sister. Look at the expression on her face. She looks so happy. That must make you feel so good." It may seem intuitive, but emotional awareness is a skill that we cultivate. Verbalizing the impact a child has made on someone else helps them recognize their own impact. In addition to helping a child recognize their impact on others, we can also help them realize the impact of their own kindness on themselves. We can either point it out or we can ask, Hey, how are you feeling right now? I recently challenged my kids to try to do one nice thing a day and report back about it at dinner. My teen told me later that she thought that seemed like a lot of nice things. 7 things a week. But a few days later, as we were walking into Walmart, we saw an older man who had dropped some strawberries and he was having a difficult time picking them up. We stopped for a minute to help. Then, as we stood up to go, a woman was pushing her shopping cart with a toddler in it. She could not get her cart over the door threshold, so we helped her lift it over. Both of these little acts took less than 30 seconds. My daughter turned to me and said, "Wow, that was a lot easier than I thought to do something nice." "That's so true," I said. "It feels good, too. Did you see that man's face when we helped him? Did you hear the kind way that woman said thank you to us?" I feel like helping people always makes me feel a bit lighter. And she agreed. This wasn't any formal lesson. It was just using normal opportunities to build kindness and empathy skills in my daughter. The third tip is to help children enjoy the experience of serving others. One of the things that I love is that there are always opportunities around us. And if we can't find any, we can create them. I remember growing up, there was a family in our neighborhood who was having a difficult year financially. My mom came to us and asked if we would be interested in giving up our Christmas in order to give the money to this other family. I was a teen when we did this as a family, and I admit that there were some selfish images of bicycles and clothes that came to my mind as I thought about what I'd be giving up. But I was also excited to do this. Together as a family, we got crisp bills of 5s and 10s and 20s and $1 bills, and we tied them in little bows and tied them onto a tree. I will never forget the feeling that I had of dropping it off on this family's doorstep and running away so they wouldn't know who had given it to them. My mother created an opportunity to serve, and it allowed all of us as children to have the experience of the helper's high. We were able to catch just a glimpse of a vision of how powerful kindness is and how amazing it makes you and others feel. Sometimes our kids have different ideas about how to be kind or serve than we do. Sometimes they're inconvenient. Sometimes it may not be the way that we would choose to serve. But allowing your children to express their kindness and love in the way that they'd like to can be an important part of helping children learn the joy of serving. This summer when we were traveling, my daughter saw a homeless man. Ever since living in Hawaii, when we saw a lot of homeless people and sometimes stopped to give them things, my daughter has a big heart for helping whenever she can. As we were walking, my daughter asked if we could give some money to the man. I checked but didn't have any cash with me. I assumed that she had forgotten about it, but when we got back to the car a few minutes later, she asked again. She said that she wanted to take $5 from her allowance and walk back to the man a half a mile away to give it to him. I was having mixed feelings. I was so touched that it was important to her to take care of this man. But honestly, we needed to go. I felt caught not knowing what we should do. I didn't want to squelch her generosity. So I dug around for the $5 and we walked back with her to find the man and give him the money. Allowing children to follow through on their own initiatives to be kind can help fan the flame of empathy as part of their identity. When you begin to look for them, there are so many opportunities all around to help others and show kindness. As expats living in foreign countries, we're often especially lucky to have many opportunities to serve in our communities. Expat children can easily experience a life in an expat bubble, going to a private school, associating with wealthy locals and other privileged expats. However, if we're willing to go outside of our expat bubble, there are often many ways to serve and get our kids involved. Sometimes the most impactful service may not be with an organization. It may be having a new family over for dinner or games. It may be playing with the child on the playground at recess who hasn't found a group of friends yet. We can teach our children to look for others that they can lift. Our family had a wonderful opportunity in one of our posts to become friends with some immigrants from another country who were barely making it financially. They were living away from their families and often had to work long hours. They became wonderful friends. We enjoyed lots of meals with them. And my daughter was even able to interview her about her immigration experiences. These friends made us food and we sang and laughed together. One of them even taught my kids how to make cinnamon rolls. My girls made them Christmas cards and enjoyed setting up a stocking for each of them. This friendship started with a simple act of kindness, and it grew to bless our entire family. In addition to these small kindnesses, living abroad, there are often many organizations, nonprofits, or other groups that you can serve with. In Mexico, we were able to paint a shelter for homeless girls. My girls were able to use paintbrushes and paint the wall and take sponges to help scrub things down and plant in the garden out in front. We were also able to go to an orphanage, and my girls were able to select some of their favorite toys. We cleaned them and we prepared them and we made an appointment with the orphanage to go and take them to the children. We were able to play with the children and hold the babies and see them enjoying the toys that we had brought. This type of experience would have been much harder to come by if we had lived in the United States. It was living abroad that gave us this unique opportunity to be able to serve in this way. In China, we started a Days for Girls group. Days for Girls is a nonprofit organization that helps girls in developing countries gain access to reusable menstrual kits. The founder, Celeste Davies, discovered that many girls were missing school because they didn't have any way to safely manage their periods. Many of them would stay home and just bleed on cardboard. She wanted to find a way to help girls manage their menstrual flow so that they could stay in school. Over the years, she was able to develop a culturally sensitive kit that allows girls to manage their menstrual flow and stay in school without resorting to using old cardboard, rags, leaves, or even having to sell themselves in order to get money for the needed pads. To be honest, this was a bit of an intimidating project at first. There are several steps to making the kits, and each kit is quite time intensive. But I really wanted to provide an opportunity for my girls to think outside of themselves and to be part of something bigger, to be able to have a way to actively show kindness to others. I received some amazing mentoring by another woman who was running a branch doing this similar type of thing. I found another friend who was willing to go to the fabric market with me in China and help me select all of the right fabrics. I ordered sewing machines and the right equipment and set out all of the stations. Then I made a flyer and sent it out to our embassy group, our neighborhood, and our church group. I was floored at how many people responded. So many amazing women said that they were wanting an opportunity to serve, especially with their daughters. I was so inspired by so many people's willingness to sacrifice in order to help others. Sometimes there were so many people who came, we had to find corners and halls and little places on the floor for people to sit and work. Over the years, we developed a sweet friendship with many of the people who came to help with the kits. There was a huge learning curve in how to make these, but we ended up putting in a combined 700 hours of time, and we were able to sew about 120 kits for girls. The process certainly wasn't perfect, and it wasn't always exactly what I hoped it would be for my girls. Sometimes I found I was so busy trying to explain and help other people, my girls got kind of ignored, and I ended up not following through as well as I had wanted to help them serve. But on the whole, as I look back, it was an amazing opportunity for my girls and I to serve. I have this wonderful image in my mind of all of my girls lined up around our Costco table where we had laid out each of the components of the kit, and we went around making the kits for the girls. They were so excited and had a wonderful time making sure that each kit had each of the components that they needed. The smiles on their faces were huge. They were experiencing the joy of service. We were also able to make a delivery to India and to Kenya with the kits. It was an incredible experience to deliver the kits. We worked with a local orphanage in New Delhi and with organizations to determine the most culturally appropriate way to discuss menstrual hygiene with the girls. In India, people do not talk about their periods. We even asked our driver what his wife of 35 years did for her menstrual hygiene. He didn't know. They had never talked about it. In some developing countries, girls don't know about their period, and they're surprised when it comes. They think they're sick or dying. In addition, many cultures stigmatize girls on their period. In Nepal, some girls have to stay outside in a hut during their period. When we deliver the kits, we also deliver important menstrual health and hygiene information so that the girls know about their bodies, about what's happening, and about how to care for the kits and use them appropriately. We were able to work with a local organization who understood the culture in order to determine what the most culturally sensitive way was to present some of this information. We talked to the girls about how to count to anticipate their periods, about how beautiful and amazing the female body is, and we talked about how to use the kits, how to wash them and care for them. We also taught them about how to avoid human trafficking and about self-defense, as many of these girls are highly vulnerable to mistreatment sexually. One of my favorite moments in India was when we had the girls shout, "I am strong! I am beautiful!" I'm going to play the clip for you. Picture a room full of beautiful young women from India who are in an orphanage. They're sitting on the ground on a blanket. They have wide eyes and smiles on their faces. Get teary listening to those girls. It was an incredible experience. It changed both me and my girls. Living abroad, we have unique opportunities to help children think outside themselves and contribute to the communities they live in and others who need help. But sometimes it does require a mom who is willing to look for or create opportunities to help their children experience the power of kindness. Let's summarize what we've talked about. We've discussed three ways that we can help our children be kinder. Number one, help children learn to recognize others' emotions. Number two, point out how their behavior affects others and themselves, both positively and negatively. And number three, help children to experience the joy of serving others. Let's go to our expat exit strategy. This is the point in the podcast that we'd take all the tools that we've learned and apply them. So take a minute and think about your family and where you live. How could you help your family experience the joys of kindness? Think of one thing, make a plan, and do it. Navigating life and mothering abroad is exciting, it's exhausting, and it's really overwhelming sometimes. I've been there and I get it. I would love to help you feel less overwhelm, less exhaustion, and enjoy some of the amazing opportunities of living abroad. So jump on and schedule a free 30-minute coaching session and bring any topic that you'd like help with. I'll talk to you next week. If you like what you're learning on this podcast, please share this episode with a friend. I wish that I had had these tools a lot earlier in my life, and I'd love to pass them along to more people who can benefit. I also appreciate when you leave reviews for the podcast. It helps me know my listeners better and understand what you find useful. It also helps the podcast grow. You can find more free resources to improve your relationships and your emotional health on my website at theexpatmom.com and on my Instagram page at theexpatmomcoach.